A parable is simply a story which Jesus told, which on the surface has a very clear message. It's very simple to understand, but it also has a deeper message, which Jesus continually says, if we want to hear, we will hear. If we don't, then we'll push it aside. And so the parables are sort of warnings in a way. If you haven't heard one, then that's what it is. But I thought I'd begin tonight with just a piece of music. I was singing in the shower the other day, and as normal, Rosemary flicks the recorder on and sort of records me singing. So I thought I'd just play a little bit for you, just a couple of minutes. Sounds like another group, doesn't it? Who does it sound like? It does sound like Queen, doesn't it? Quite a lot. Never mind. Okay. It wasn't really me. Sorry about that. No, it was actually Queen. Interesting that, isn't it? I think Queen has a lot of music which tells us where they're at, really. And says a lot of things which they're struggling after in life and... In my opinion, they sort of missed the boat. And Freddie Mercury, in that song, he sings about being a winner. We are the champions, he says. And then he says, there's no time for losers. And in one sense, that's how we view people in society, isn't it? The winners are those who seem to be successful in life. You say you've got the rock stars and those people who make money and make a lot of money. But even for the average person, those we consider successful in life are those who have worked hard and got a nice home and got a good career. Or they might have done well in business or sport. Those are the kind of people that we think are successful. Well, is that what you think? What do you think is a successful person? Do you think you are a successful person? When Freddie Mercury died, many people said, when they interviewed the different people on television, many people said that his life was a success. Well, would people say that about your life? It's a very important question. What kind of life is successful? But another question which is just as important as that question is, who determines the benchmark for who is successful and what is not successful? That is, who judges ultimately whether a person is a winner or a loser in life? Well, the reading that you heard from Luke's Gospel was Jesus telling a story about a man who, in our eyes, and most of society's eyes, is a success. He's a good businessman, he works hard, he plans, he invests, and he makes more money, he makes more wealth. He's the person that we all sort of admire. And he's the kind of person that we would all like to be like because he's successful. But in the parable, Jesus puts an incredible sting in the tale. This man's life may be a success in our eyes, but in God's eyes, it's not a success. In fact, in God's eyes, verse 20, this man is not only not successful, he is a fool, says God. Let me try and show you why. Jesus tells this story, you'll notice, to a man who interrupted him while he was teaching about the kingdom of God. And so this man jumps up from the crowd and he says, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Now that may sound strange to us, but in Jewish culture, rabbis often acted as judges in legal matters. And this man obviously sees Jesus as a rabbi and he wants him to make a judgment. Now that's why Jesus told this story. And we must understand that. It's very important that we understand that, because it is, right from the outset, it is a warning. Not just to this man, but to the crowd who were listening. Jesus was teaching about God, but this man wasn't interested in God. He wasn't interested about the kingdom of God. He's there in the crowd, and Jesus is speaking about God, but the only thing that's on this man's mind is money. That's all he can think about. And so Jesus says, verse 15, "Watch out, be on your guard." Now, whenever you see those words in the New Testament spoken by Jesus, "Watch out, be on your guard," that is a very stern warning. You need to be very careful, he says. And what he's saying is that money, possessions, are not what life is all about. And if you continue in that way, as if they are what life is about, then when you die and face God to give an account for your life, you will be judged harshly. Now that's the tone of Jesus' words. It's a warning to this man and to those like him about getting their priorities right in life. Because what they do in life, in this life, how they judge life and view life, affects what happens to them in eternity. That's what Jesus is saying. And then to drive that home, so that we'll understand, so that everybody will understand, Jesus tells this parable. And that's what he's doing. He's driving that message home. A rich man who owned land had such a good crop, he says, that he didn't have enough room to store everything. And so he said, "I know what I'll do. I'll knock down my old barns, I'll build bigger ones, and I'll store all my crops in my new and bigger barns. That way," he said, "I'll have plenty for myself over the coming years. I'll be made for life. I'll be comfortable in life. I can take it easy. I can eat, drink, and be merry because I've made it. That's where I am in life." So through his hard work and good planning, he could now sit back and enjoy his money and his possessions. Well, he's not much different from most Kiwis, is he? Or from most people in Western society, he's not much different. Most people today spend their life building in some way. They work very hard to get the house, or the business, or the career, because they want to live a comfortable life. And most people in society, the average person, they don't want to necessarily be rich, but they just want to earn enough to be comfortable in life and later on to retire on. Jesus was talking about the everyday Jew, but he was also talking about your everyday working Kiwi, one who we would say was successful in life. Then why on earth does God call this man a fool? He's hard working. He's honest. Jesus doesn't say anything about him being dishonest. He hasn't ripped people off. He hasn't been dishonest, it seems, to get where he wants to get. We're not told that he's a bad husband or a bad employer or dishonest businessman or a bad father. He doesn't seem to be a drunkard or a thief. He seems to be a well-respected, hard-working, self-made man who just wants to enjoy what he's worked hard for all his life. What's wrong with that? Does God call him a fool for that? Well, not quite. There's nothing wrong with hard work. There's nothing wrong with planning. There's nothing wrong with building for the future. There's nothing really wrong with making money. And so in one sense, there's nothing wrong with this man at all. But in another sense, in the deeper sense, there is something very wrong with him. And it's this. Where is God in this man's life and this man's plans? That's the issue with Jesus. And it's the issue with God. This man is a Jew. He believes in God. But where is God in his life? He is nowhere. And you can tell that's the case because Jesus here is teaching about God and God's kingdom. But this man is not listening. He's not interested in God. He's thinking about his finances. How he can get his share of his inheritance. He's just not listening about the kingdom of God. Some people listen to me preach on a Sunday and they too don't listen. Yes, it could be because I'm boring. Yes, I know that. But some don't listen because they either just don't want to hear about God, or they say that they do live for God, but actually, even though they say they live for God, they're actually more interested in their life, in their stuff. And that's what the man in the parable is like. He never mentions God in any of his planning or any of his thoughts. He himself is the center of everything. Notice when you read through that story, what shall I do? I have no place to do this. I'll do this. I'll build that. And then the word my crops, my grain, my goods, myself. There's no thought that God has made me, that God gave me life. He gave me the gifts and talents to do what I've done in life. Yes, I've worked hard, but God created me, and therefore he gave me the ability to do all these things and the opportunity to do these things. Yes, me, but behind me is my creator, God. There's none of that thinking. This man believes in God, but God is nowhere in his life. That's the issue with God. And that's the average person in this society. Most people in Christchurch believe in God. They believe that there's a creator. But very few, very, very few ever think about God or thank him for their lives, for what he's given us, life. And so people today in this society are just like many people in Jesus' day. They believe in God, but they don't actually want him involved in their lives. And that's why God says that this man is a fool. Not because he works hard. Not because he saves for the future. It's because he plans his life without God being anywhere. And God says this man is a fool. He's a fool because he makes two fundamental mistakes regarding life and God. One, he thinks that his life is under his own control. I'll build this, and then I'll do that. Then I'll build an even bigger one. That means that I can live comfortably for years. I can take it easy in life, or I'll just have a wonderful life when I retire, and then I'll have a great life. I'll do all myself. He's planning his future. But who says that he'll live past tomorrow? Who says he'll be alive that afternoon? It is a great mistake to think that we are in control of our own life, of when we live and when we die. It's a great mistake to think that. I took the funeral of a young man some years ago. He was a good young man. He worked hard all his life. He had his life planned out. He'd bought a block of land in New Zealand, and his plan was to build a block of land on that. He was going to go over to Europe to do his big OE, and then when he came back, he was going to build his dream home where he and his girlfriend would live there. It was all planned out. A few weeks before he was to leave for his big OE, he died tragically in a car accident. He was 25 years old. That morning, he and his family were on top of the world. He had his whole life ahead of him, enjoying life. He had no idea that that night he would be dead. Verse 20. This very night, God said to this man, "Your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" It is foolish to think that we control our own life. Neither you nor I have any idea when our time is up. You and I can control many things in our life. We can control our business. We can control our house, whom we meet, who we see. But we have absolutely no control over when we will die. Plan, yes. Work, yes. But God says, don't be a fool. Your life and mine hang by a piece of cotton. Each of us is a whisker away from the next life. And God, not you or I, holds that piece of cotton. The second mistake this man made was that he kids himself, or he shuts himself off to the fact that one day he will stand before God. Jesus doesn't often say, "Watch out, be on your guard." But when he does, it is a strong warning. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment. Now I know that it's not politically correct to talk about these things in our society. People don't like this thing about Christianity or about God. It makes us uncomfortable that God is a judge. The thought that God will judge us seems unfair and seems harsh. It's very odd, isn't it? I find it very odd. It's quite acceptable for us to make a judgment about somebody else. It's quite acceptable for us to make a judgment legally. We know that it's right for a judge to judge a criminal who has committed a crime. In our country, we're advocating, quite rightly, for stronger punishment for people who break laws. So we don't mind us judging, but we don't like the thought that God judges us. We're very inconsistent in our thinking. But we will all stand before God. That's not my words, that's the words of Jesus. And deep down, I actually think we all know it. I think we know it deep down. We deny it outwardly, but deep down, we know. The older I get, I notice that people begin to think like me a little bit regarding God. The older people get, they see, or when they face death especially, they say things like, begin to say things like, what will God say to me? What happens when I die? How will God judge my life? Have I been good enough? And that's because deep down we know that one day we will stand before God. And that's not just been ploughed into us, so it's psychologically there. We know it deep down. But like this man, we pretend that it will never happen to me. My dear friends, that is a massive mistake. God says, you are a fool if you don't think and prepare for that day. You are a fool. And Jesus says in verse 21, this is how it will be with anyone. Anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich towards God. And so this man has a choice. He can build his life on God or on himself. And God says, this man was a fool. Not because he worked hard, not because he was successful in business, but he'd missed the point of his whole life and existence. God had given him life. To live that life under God. To have a relationship with God. And when he died, to go to be with God forever. But this man, in effect, said, yes, God, you made me, you gave me life, but I don't want you involved in my life. I want to live life my way. Jesus says over and over again that we have dumped God. We've dumped him. We don't want him. And you can see that that's true in this society. Most people believe that there's a God, but if we are honest, we don't want him. What should we do then? Do we have to stay living the rest of our lives like that, rich towards ourselves, but not rich towards God? The New Testament says no. That's why Jesus came. Jesus said, I came to give life. Jesus didn't come just to teach us some nice things about God, or to teach us about religion, or to teach us how to love one another. He came to die. He came to die that we might live. Live for God. That's the gospel. The New Testament says that Jesus came to die for me, to bring me back to God, to live for him. I've rejected God in my life. I don't live in a relationship with God. I'm dead to God. But when Jesus said, I came to die that you might live, this is what he meant. I should be judged and spend eternity without God because I ignore him in life. But he came to take that judgment himself so that I could live. He died so that I could live with God. That's the gospel. He died for me. I remember a few years ago, you may remember as well, a few years ago in the North Island, a family fishing trip which turned into a tragedy. Four people from one family went out in a boat. I'm sure some of you remember it. They went out in a boat and the boat overturned. And one person drowned immediately, and then another person drowned, and another person drowned. And only the daughter, about 10 years old, survived. She survived in the water for 36 hours. How many people remember that? Remember that? It was an incredible tragedy. But what struck me in that whole thing was the father of the girl. When she was interviewed, she said that there was only one life jacket, and my father gave it to me. And when he was getting tired, she wanted to give it back to him, but he insisted that she must have it. And he kept slipping down the boat further and further into the water. But she offered the life jacket again. She said, Dad, take the life jacket. But he insisted that she have it. And he said to her, if I die, you will live. Years later, that girl will know that she's alive because of one thing. Her father died to save her. He died that she would live. And that's what Jesus' death means. His death gives you the way to life, which is knowing God. The older I get, and the longer I'm in ministry, the more I cannot understand why people won't prepare properly to meet God. People will plan for all sorts of things in life. I was like that for 30 years of my life. They'll plan for all sorts of things. Their career, their house, their holiday, they'll retire. They'll plan no end. They'll plan everything. But why, oh why, won't they do this one thing? I cannot understand it. There are two things which are certain in life. One, we will all die. And two, we don't know when. And yet most people bury their heads in the sand and pretend it will never happen to them. God said to this man, "You fool. This very night, your life will be demanded of you." So right back to the beginning. Is your life a success? Are you a winner? Or are you a loser? But in God's eyes, that's the question. Let me pray. Oh Lord God, our Creator, thank you, Father, for making it so clear and so simple. Thank you that you show us the good side of life and the bad. Thank you that you give us the dignity to give us choice. We thank you for that. Help us, though, we pray, to think carefully. Help us to be the best that we can in this life at all the things that you throw at us. Help us to work hard and plan carefully. But help us, dear Father, we pray, not to be fools. Not to be fools in your eyes. Help us to plan with you always in mind. Help us to know Jesus Christ, that we may know you. And we pray all these things, dear Father, that the person who died for us may be honored and glorified. In his name we pray. Amen.